This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a magnificent Friday, I am back and in the chair. I missed you dearly, and I'm thrilled to be here on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I hope you survived a day without me. I was at the Megyn Kelly tour speaking thing last night. I'll talk about that in a little while, but for now, you know what time it is. We have so many questions. We're going to talk about this White House remodel that they're trying to make a thing of right off the bat. I'll talk about that briefly. A color revolution. What is it? Are we living through one right now? These totalitarian regimes, are they better at making things? I'll talk briefly about the mafia story, the mafia, NBA rigging things, and billionaires. Do we have too many? Is it unfair? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So let's begin here. Your questions were amazing. It's awesome. But I know you've heard on the television, I know you've seen it on social media, people making a big deal about Donald Trump tearing down part of the White House complex and building a ballroom. I have this email, Jesse. I have many like this. Jesse, is the left upset at Trump for remodeling the White House without their input? So on and so forth. Okay, so first of all, I guess I will tell you a little something about last night because it just makes sense to tell you about it right now. Something kind of cool. After the event, you know, it was Megyn Kelly, it was me, it was Don Jr. speaking at the event. After the event, Megyn sent out the word to us two, and she said, hey, let's get together afterwards. Let's eat some cheese and crackers, break some bread for an hour or two. Just talk about life. So it was just Megyn, her husband, Don, his woman, me, and Ab, and that was it. It was just us six. And we get together at this place, and Don Jr. starts actually talking about this White House ballroom thing. He actually starts talking about his father, Donald Trump, the president of the United States of America. Now, maybe you're a Trump hater or lover. I don't care. None of that matters. But it was fascinating to listen to this aspect of it. Something you may realize but may not. Trump, he gets a bunch of his grandkids with Don Jr. and they go on this big overseas flight. I forget which one it was. He's done so many where he was closing a trade deal and signing a big agreement and whatever. But the grandkids came along. It was a grueling day. Many of these grandkids are young. They get back from this thing after 8-9 hours of travel. And as you can imagine, they're kids. They're not involved in politics. It's exhausting. They're done. They want to go home. They want to go to sleep. Donald Trump, Grandpa Donald Trump, says, no. Come on. You got to come with me. I have something so cool I want to show you. He brings them all to the White House. Brings them in the Oval Office, and he starts to show them every little portrait or trinket or thing like that that's in the Oval Office, discussing with these very bored grandkids who are not into it, discussing the intricacy of it, the history of it. Did you know that Andrew Jackson did this? Did you know that this is part of what the Reagan did? Did you know this was cool? He knows everything about every part of it, is so interested, has such a reverence for all of it, and he's so geeking out on it. He doesn't care that the grandkids are cash and they just want to go home and put their pajamas on. No. You sit there. This is super cool. Trust me, you're going to think it's cool. And of course, they don't. You know, they're tired, but no. You have to hear. Do you want to hear where this bust came from? Donald Trump has a deep reverence for the office of the presidency, for the White House itself,
and for the United States of America itself. Whatever problems you may have from time to time with the man, or I may have from time to time with the man, he has a deep, deep reverence for this place. And this is long before he got into politics. There's all kinds of video. You can hear the way he talks about America. For him, and for me, and probably for you, America is special. It is unique, and it is special, and it should look special. It should be special. It should be something where people look at it, every aspect of it, and they should say, whoa. Right now, what's a huge story across the country? National Guard, ICE, FBI, all these different federal groups going into different cities, filthy, crime-ridden cities. It's a big story. Do you want to know part of why Donald Trump is doing this? Yes, big part of it's about illegal immigration and drugs, things like that. Donald Trump is mortified, embarrassed that our cities, which should be shining wonderful examples of America, that our cities are disgusting. He thinks it's horrid. He's, as an American, and you and I've talked about this before, cities are on the billboard of your country. You know, as much as I love Bozeman, Montana, where I grew up, you know what's not on the billboard for the United States of America in Germany somewhere? It's not Bozeman. It's New York City. He's mortified that our billboards are gross. They smell. They're full of violence and illegals and drugs and scum. Mortified. And he's trying to do what he can to fix it. So the White House ballroom. We host people. We host dignitaries from all over the world. You've seen them. You've seen it on the news. People, the kings, doesn't matter who it is, from across the world, they will come, most of them, and in some way, at some point in time, they will show up and they will pay homage to the United States of America. They will meet the American president. They will sit in the Oval Office. Maybe they'll work out a deal. Maybe it's just a photo op, but they will come. We can't have a nice ballroom? No, let me clarify. We don't even have a nice ballroom to put on events. I'm talking about the kind of ballroom you see in the movies. I don't know that I've ever been in one, but you see them in the movies. The kind of ballroom where you walk in and you go, oh my gosh, is that real gold on the ceiling? We don't even have that, and we're the United States of America? So what's he doing? He is privately funding, I should point out, no matter how much they lie to you, he is privately funding, he got private people to fund it, privately funding a ballroom that holds, get this, I found this out last night, 6,000 people, seating for 6,000 people. I can't even imagine what a ballroom that size would look like. I don't think I've ever been in anything or even seen anything like that. It's going to be huge, gorgeous. And for years and years and years, when Donald Trump is dead and gone, when I'm dead and gone, for decades, foreign dignitaries will show up for big events held on the White House grounds, and they will walk in and go, wow, this is really cool. Now, to answer your question, why are the communists so upset by it? There are two reasons. The first, they have to react that way to everything Trump does. Remember, Donald Trump has been turned into the Nazi antichrist in their mind. If Donald Trump scooped a sick, dying puppy off the highway and brought it back and personally nursed it to health, they would find a way to say that it's the worst thing in the history of the world. That's part of it. But another part of it is this. What do we discuss when we discuss the religion of communism? What kind of religion is it? What is it? A religion of what? Destruction. They're destroyers. It's about destroying everything good. Some things are the American family must be destroyed. Sometimes it's a beautiful statue must be destroyed. Maybe it's a beautiful business, it must be destroyed. Maybe it's simple beauty, individual beauty. That's why they'll take your beautiful 18-year-old daughter, you send her off to college, and they'll tell her to gain 200 pounds and shave half her head and get a bunch of rings in her face. It's about destroying everything good. So Now, think like a communist for a brief moment, then we're going to move on because there's too many good questions. Think like a communist. You're a communist. You're trying to destroy everything wonderful, beautiful, and good, certainly everything in America. And you find out there's going to be a 6,000-person gilded ballroom that people will enjoy for decades. Does that make you happy? Or does that make you angry? What if the 18-year-old daughter of yours that they managed to pack on the pounds and get her to dye her hair purple, what if she got fit again, happy, got a boyfriend? She smiles a lot now. She's going to church. Do you think that would make communists happy or that would make them sad? That's how they feel about the prospect of a beautiful ballroom people will enjoy forever. That's why. All right? Speaking of your daughter, hey, Bronco. My daughter is 14, very pretty, and I notice scumbag older men checking her out. What age would you think is okay to get a Berna? She is somewhat familiar with my firearms and goes shooting with me. I just want her safe. My son Luke was shooting his Berna in the backyard by himself routinely at 11 or 12. But look, obviously you want to focus on being age appropriate, but it's also non-lethal. They may hate themselves for it if they squeeze off around. They'll be very miserable for a half hour, but they're not going to die or anything like that. If I had a beautiful 14-year-old daughter with men gazing at her, well, I'd have a Berna in her hands. If I had a daughter of any age, I don't care if she's 80, I'd have a Berna in her hands. Men, women, get a Berna in your hands. They're legal everywhere, all 50 states, no permit needed. They'll save your life. Save your life and stop a very bad man. BYRNA, Berna.com. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Friday. So happy to be back here. Remember, you can email the show, of course, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you're just now tuning in, Fridays are a little different on the Jesse Kelly Show. I mean, I guess it's fairly similar to the rest of the week, but Fridays, all 3 hours, I answer the questions you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It's not lame and pathetic like a lot of that grab bag stuff is. We make sure we try to do a good job for you as best we can here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, that was the White House ballroom kerfuffle stuff they're doing. I wanted to touch on this before I go to color revolutions. I wanted to touch on this story because I was gone yesterday. I'm not going to go into details of it, but the mafia, professional sports, NBA story. This guy says, Jesse, now that we know the mafia has been involved in rigging card games, might this explain how Governor Pritzker won $1.4 million? Okay, so first, let's address Governor Pritzker of Illinois. You know who he is, obviously. You've seen his big, fat, dumb face all over the television set, lying every single chance he gets about how bad crime is in Illinois and Chicago, Governor Pritzker.
Why does Chicago have the highest murder rate of all the big cities?
Well, we are not in the top 30 in terms of our murder rate. Indeed, our murder rate has been cut in half over the last 4 years, and every year it's gone down by double digits. And if you look at all of the violent crime over the last four years,
here's a map. They've all gone down. U.S. cities, 17.47 per 100,000 population. Chicago is number one over Philly.
Yeah, anyway. You also probably know by now that he wants to be president of the United States of America. That is a big reason why you have seen Governor Pritzker's fat, stupid face on the television way more in the last 6 months or so than you ever did before. Frankly, unless you're hyper political, which I realize you may be, but you probably didn't really know Governor Pritzker or even know of Governor Pritzker. Who knows governors that much? I mean, you know a few, but you don't know that many. Why is he all of a sudden all over the television set threatening ICE agents, Donald Trump's a dictator, all that stupid stuff? Well, he's running for president. He's going to run in that Democrat primary to be president of the United States of America. You already know that. Something you may not know about Governor Pritzker is he is I believe a billionaire, Chris. If he's not a billionaire, I think he's very close. I think he's a billionaire, uber wealthy. So as much as I would love to crush him for declaring $1.4 million in winnings, in gambling winnings. I think it was in Las Vegas, if I remember the story right. As much as I would love to say it's criminal, let me clarify why it's probably not. So there's a world that I've never lived in, and you'll probably never live in, to be honest with you. And I don't have any desire to live in it, but I have learned of it. And there's this, it's this ultra world of billionaires and uber, uber wealthy people. You know, I told you I've been to Las Vegas a few times. I've gambled before. I'm not really a gambler. I don't care for it. When I lose money, it makes my throat fill up with battery acid. I just cannot do it. So I might throw $5 on a game with a friend, but nah, not a gambler. I've seen gambling ruin people's lives. I'm just not a gambler. I don't like gambling. Not big on it. I'll do it. Not big on it. And if I ever do it, you know, if Ob and I end up at some hotel and we'll go down and maybe see a blackjack table and we try to find the $10 a hand, $5 a hand table, the same one you play, pull out $50, $100, you gamble it. When it's gone, you walk away. That's how we try to do it. I'm not that guy. But there are, I know this for a fact, there are secret gambling rooms in Las Vegas casinos that you will never see, and I will never see. It doesn't matter how many phone calls I make, how many strings I try to pull, I will never even lay eyes on them. Regular people will never lay eyes on them, and what's more, you will probably never lay eyes on the people who gamble in them. I'm talking about secret entrances from underground garages where the paparazzi can't see you, where you are whisked away through very, very posh corridors in the bowels of a Las Vegas hotel, and you walk into the most beautiful little gambling room possible, and the only people in there are the wait staff who are sworn to secrecy under pain of death, and they have to hire the most strict NDAs in the history of mankind. You can't believe the things they make these people sign. You're not allowed to go home to your wife and say, hey, honey, Governor Pritzker was in tonight, or you lose everything, right? It's understood. And this is where Michael Jordan gambles. And this is where guys like Pritzker gamble. They're not out there at the $5 blackjack table with you and me. They're not pulling slots or whatever those are, the slots, right? The things I've never actually played those. They're not pulling slots. They are in a private place in the same building technically you are, but they don't gamble like you. And they don't gamble like me. I mean, I realize I don't gamble much, but do you understand what I'm saying? And for a guy like Pritzker, a billionaire, if you were to tell me that in one night he lost $10 million, I would say, oh yeah, I can see that. And if you were to tell me in one night he won $5 million, I would tell you the exact same thing. Oh yeah, I can see that. When normal people hear $1.4 million he won that gambling, that must be corrupt. It's a totally understandable reaction. But there, yeah, Chris said one or two hands. It really is. Honestly, when I heard that, I thought, oh, billionaire? Yeah, all right. He hit it big at the end. He had a great hand or two, walked away from the tables. Now, let's set that aside. Let's touch briefly on the mafia NBA gambling thing. I'm not big on it, so I'm not going to spend probably more than a minute on it, but I will touch on it in a moment. Now, I want to talk about the date. It's October 24th. You know that? You know the end of the year is coming. You know what you're going to be sniffing around for? A tax deduction, like we all are, because the greedy government's going to stick its hands in your wallet and pillage you. You know that giving to preborn is tax deductible? If you gave preborn $28 right now, they would use it to give a woman an ultrasound for free, and she would choose life instead of abortion. If you gave preborn $28,000 right now, they would do the same thing 1,000 times over. And did you know that all of it is tax deductible? Is there a better way to get a tax deduction? I don't think so. Saving babies' lives? That's what you and preborn have done for a long time. preborn.com/Jesse. Go, give, and deduct it on your taxes. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Getting right back into it here. Let's talk about this mafia rigging card game story. And I'm not going to get into any specifics. I don't care about the NBA. And I don't care about any of that. But what I do care about is crime and society and organized crime. And look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to speak for women, but I will speak for every single dude listening to the sound of my voice. Every dude listening to the sound of my voice who woke up yesterday and saw a story or read a story about the Italian mafia rigging NBA games or card games or whatever the headline happened to say, whatever one you read, every single dude to a man thought to himself, oh, that sounds kind of cool. Let me explain. Men, much more so than women, no, we're not worse, but all men have this thing inside of them, a rebellious streak inside of them. Maybe it's small in you. Maybe it's big in you. That it just totally depends on so many things, upbringing, how God created you. But all men, we dream of this scenario. Society degrading to a point, or you being pushed to a point in some way where you throw caution to the wind. You throw laws to the wind. You're not obeying rules anymore. And you're going to do whatever you want to do, come what may. That's why movies where somebody innocent gets hurt or killed. The John Wick movies. You killed his puppy, and now he has no choice but to murder 300 people for it. That dudes love movies like that. And because of things like that, organized crime. We're talking about the Italian mafia. The Italian mafia has always had a fascination with the American male, and I realize some women as well. You're telling me there's this fairly secret group of men, and they just do whatever they want? They just commit crimes? No way! And that's why there's so many movies about them. People are fascinated by the lifestyle, fascinated by it. Men are, even if you don't ever want to do it, right? I don't ever want to do it. I don't ever want to be one of those guys. I couldn't be one of those guys. But even if you don't want to do it, there's a little part of you that does. So we hear these things and we're fascinated by it. I'm not defending it at all because they are criminals and murderers and thieves and it's terrible, right? Please don't do it. But that's the fascination with it, and that's why that story made so many headlines yesterday. I know I wasn't on the air because I was doing the Megyn Kelly thing, but that's why that thing got so big yesterday. I will say, when we were on the way to the Megyn Kelly thing, I was driving. You know, it was me, Ob, and the boys. I took the boys last night. We were on our way to the Megyn Kelly thing, and it was a ways from our house. So we were driving there. The boys brought it up because the boys, of course, all their friends in school were talking about, Dad, did you hear about the mob? Dad, did you hear about this? Dad, what do you think about that? So I'll just tell you the same thing I told the boys. You can and should, frankly, attack crime in your society. Crime is something that has to be attacked. You have to go after it. You have to arrest and prosecute and imprison criminals. Otherwise, the criminals you don't arrest, They'll commit more crimes and worse crimes, and society will go completely out of control as the bad people overwhelm the good people. This is basic criminal justice. You have to have a society that attacks criminals, which is why Democrats don't, but we'll set that aside for now. However, no matter how much time, no matter how many resources you dedicate to attacking organized crime, the Italian mafia, it will never, ever, ever be snuffed out completely, because mankind will always have a desire for things he's not allowed to have. Maybe it's illegal gambling. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe choose your vice. There will always be a desire for it. As long as there's a desire for it, there will be a market for it. And as long as there is a market for it, there will be men who find a way to serve that market. Period. end of story. That is what has kept all organized crime. It's not just Italians, the Russians, the Mexicans, the Irish, they're organized crime groups everywhere. That is what has kept them alive forever and will keep them alive for a long time. You're just trying to make sure they don't get so big and powerful they overwhelm you. And to get a little bit darker, because there's some an ugly story that we've talked about before here. Well, I'll go ahead and play it. Tulsi Gabbard talked about it. This is not going to be news to you. You've heard this before about human trafficking here.
The most insidious was providing intelligence to the Mexican law enforcement that led to the arrest of a CJNG cartel-affiliated baby trafficker called La Diabla. Her whole money-making operation was centered around luring pregnant women, performing illegal C-sections, harvesting organs, and selling newborn babies.
You remember that story when we talked about it? It's Friday. I'm in a great mood, so I don't want to dwell on the horror of that. But what did she just say? You took pregnant women? You lied to them to get them to an undisclosed location where you then cut their babies out of them, killed the women, and harvested the organs, and then sold the babies off. How could that happen? More specifically, for our purposes here, why would that even happen? Why? What? Why would that happen? Organs and babies? What? Because there's a market for it. That's why. Organs? Organs are in demand. As people around the globe have failing ones, now that the medical technology is available to take your failing one and remove it from your body and find a healthy one and put it in your body, now that that technology is available, people who don't want to die, they would like to purchase one. And if they have to purchase one on the black market, they will purchase one. And babies. Why are you taking a woman's baby? What are you doing with the baby? There's a market for that too. Do I need to remind you what Brandon Darby came on the show and told us about that little market? I have cringed and winced many times on this show as we've talked about whatever news of the day there is, but I don't know that I've ever winced as hard as I winced when Brandon Darby, our cartel expert, sat right here and told us, yeah, gay couples are buying these babies in the United States of America. I know this is ugly. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about something else. We'll talk about, honestly, I think I'll probably do just a little bit of history here just to get us off of the ugliness. Just a little brief history. We're not going to do a long one right now. But as we talked about before, there is a dark, dark world all around you, all around me, that you don't know about. And I don't know about. And when every single cop listening to the sound of my voice, everyone, every state trooper, every sheriff, every city cop, every rural cop, they have found this world because they work in this world. Their job puts them in this world. And they're all, every one of them is nodding his head in approval right now, or in agreement right now, about this dark world you don't think about. That muffler shop that you drive by every single day, no big deal, right? They've been dealing heroin out of there for the last 15 years. Someone was killed there and they buried him underneath the concrete. It's the world we live in, man. It's ugly. It's dark. This is just pray you get to stay in the light, all right? Stay in the light. You don't need those drugs anyway. All you need is Relief Factor. It's drug-free. Did you know Relief Factor is drug-free? I'm going to stress that again. When it comes to pain, we want it to go away, obviously. We want it to go away so we can get back to doing the things we love. But maybe you've already convinced yourself that you won't ever be able to do that. You're too old, right? You can't golf anymore. Your back hurts. It's done. My golfing days are done. I don't get to walk anymore. This is my knee. I'm too old. No, you haven't tried Relief Factor yet. Stop accepting pain. Stop taking drugs to mask pain. Try 100% drug-free supplement, Relief Factor. They will sell you 3 weeks of it. It's a quick start for $19.95. You take it every day, all right? It supports your body's natural response to that inflammation. It's like every day the pain in your body gets turned down a little more and a little more and a little more. Soon, it's gone. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Night. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That was a lot of human trafficking and organ harvesting talk. Let's get away from that. Let's talk about something maybe a little historical, maybe something that'll make you think, something that makes me think. Jesse, your history on the bridge over the River Kwai was interesting to me and a reminder of the brutality of the Japanese inflicted on the POWs. One thing that I happen to think about was I can understand now why so many baby boomers don't buy Japanese products. However, Japanese products are now generally better than most other products. It occurred to me that the Germanic barbarians and Scandinavian barbarians are now also known for their engineering precision. Is this a coincidence, or can you think of other people who were militaristic barbarians that are now great engineers? Any thoughts on why or why not? All right, so let's have a talk. Maybe an ugly talk, maybe a wonderful talk, but something that I have thought about many times before as I try to learn about history and military campaigns and societies and their rise and their fall. And I guess the best I can tell you is this. Let's take our morality, our thoughts on things like killing people. Let's set that aside for a moment. Just a moment. All right. Believe me, I want you to pick it back up in a moment. Just set that aside for a moment. Now, why? Let's approach this from this way. Why is it that life expectancy today is so much longer than it was in, you know, history? Why? Why is it? Now, there was even in America, in our early times in America, I believe the number is 50% of babies would die at some point after birth. I think within their first 2 years. I forget the exact metric, but it was half. I know that's the number. Now that's very rare. I know it happens, but that's very rare. Why do we live so much longer now? Well, mankind itself, we're not going to make this just about America, mankind itself has advanced. Mankind has advanced in a million different ways, technologically. One of the main drivers, in fact, in that advancement is the availability of cheap energy. That is something that was not available in the past. Everything was run by fire, or even when steam was an advancement. Now we have all these ways of energy, cheap, affordable energy. Even poor people have lights and air conditioning and refrigerators. So mankind as a whole, let's look at everything as a whole, has advanced. Okay, that's good. It's good. We want to advance, don't we? Now, how does mankind advance? Let's talk about, well, let's use someone I love, the Sioux or the Lakota Indians. I like Indian tribes. I've always thought they were so cool. I've always learned about them. I was the dork who wanted to be the Indian when we played cowboys and Indians so much. So I like Indian tribes, Cherokees and all of them. I just love them. So let's use the Lakota, the Sioux. Now, they were lords of the plains, great on horseback, and they were dominant over the other Indian peoples in their area. Dominant. Warlike, dominant, and the most powerful. Now, if the Lakota, if they had been able to keep their stranglehold on their area, would mankind have advanced to a place where the average person lives 70 years old now? No. Okay, so how did we get rid of the Lakota? War. The more technologically advanced power fought, killed them, and took what they had. We conquered them. I made this about the Lakota because I'm a fan, but we can make it about any tribal peoples anywhere, not just in America. The less technologically advanced tribal people were conquered and killed, let's be honest, conquered and killed by more advanced people. Now, even people who are kind of on the fence about things, that kind of makes you wince a little. So doesn't it cringe? You squirm in your seat. I really wish Australia hadn't. I mean, I wish the Aborigines hadn't been crushed and slaughtered. And maybe Caesar shouldn't have killed a million Gauls. And maybe it makes you squirm in your seat. Totally understandable. I'm not saying otherwise. But if we're looking at mankind as a whole, is conquest bad when generally it is the more technologically advanced power who wins? Yes, it is horrible for the people who are being conquered, no question. And this is not necessarily a defense of conquest, just a way to think about things from a real 30,000-foot view. Is conquest bad when mankind itself advances? People today, millions and millions, tens of millions of them, they lead better lives, longer lives, more comfortable lives. Tens of millions, billions of people live better lives because tribal peoples around the globe were conquered by more technologically advanced powers. Kind of a survival of the fittest thing, a pride of lions. Do you know there's one male that leads a pride of lions? Did you know that he's the one who gets to breed with all the female lions? And did you know that he has to fight sometimes to the death the other males in order to achieve that? You know who wins in the end? The pride itself. You have stronger offspring. And the leader, the protector of your tribe, is stronger. The pride itself benefits in every way by the most powerful male defeating and sometimes killing the less powerful male. Ugly? Of course. Also, probably for the best. I think maybe when you look at things like the Japanese and the way they are, and then making the products they make, I don't know that you can separate the two. Not completely. Anyway. You know who's not a lion is Fred. In fact, Fred is having a uniquely terrible day. My in-laws were in town, loving on him every second. My sister was in town, loving on him every second. Now they have left town. And now when I left the house today, Fred was curled up by the front door, just laying there whimpering as if he'd been beat. Just whimpering, constantly upset. This is the life we have with the basket case dog that we have bought. And this is why he needed Rough Greens, so he would stop having digestive problems after every meal. He gets an upset stomach when he gets stressed out, and he's stressed out 24 hours a day. So we started sprinkling the number one dog supplement in America on his food, and now the stress remains, but his coat looks good, and he doesn't make messes in the house anymore. You want a healthier dog that lives longer? Start sprinkling Rough Greens on your dog's food. Go to roughgreens.com and use the promo code Jesse or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.